Toldos is always sort of an exciting parsha, for us really very much also, because to have a real havona in what were the chiluke deis ki'ilu between Rivka and Yitzchak, as far as the brochas were concerned, what was Yitzchak's kavona and why did Rivka work to frustrate it? That's a big issue, and it's a big inyan. So let's learn a little bit. There's a sefer, beautiful sefer, called Shiurei Chumash. These are the Chumash Shiurim of Rav Volbe, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. And he gave Shiurim in the yeshiva every week on Chumash, and he let his Talmidim know that it concerned him that they should be published. He felt that they should be published. But he never was oisik in trying to publish them himself. And the says in Takdoma over there that the Bochum felt that this was something that he purposely left to them. I guess that even after he was nistalek, they could learn from him still in these very, very important shiurim. Now, it's interesting to see how he understood the issue between Yitzchak and Rivka. And then we'll see that there are also chilukei deis who may not agree with this completely. And it'll be interesting to see the various possibilities. So starting over here, if any of you have the sefer, it's on page Reish Lamet in Shiurei Chumash in Bereshis, Parshas Toldos. So Yitzchak Avinu rotzo levorech es bonov, kefi shemechayeves midas hadin. Sheyakov yeshev eretz Yisrael, ushafilu medina atzmo es lo si elo. He has nothing in olam hazeh. All he has is learn, learn, learn. Elo shu yir osu rak b'toyro mitzvahs. Ve'esov yizborach b'olam hazeh, kach mechayeves midas hadin. Oh, hazeh das. ולבסוף, כשיעקב קיבל את הברוכו, שיועד יצחק לא סייס לאיסוף, והיחר עד יצחק חרודו גדול לו, את מראית, אוי, 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 I've been frustrated. הוא רודע חורד מהמחשוב הזויס, שיעקב יקבל עולם הזה, לא יחיה עם מידס הדין. Rav Volbe talks a lot about this Indian of Midas Hadin in the Chumash, but that's not really directly in our sugya over here, so let's just forget about this Midas Hadin part. But he had wanted that the Olam Hazeh should go to Esav, and Rivka had decided that it should go to Yaakov. Why? Aber Rivka yada, shekach lo yiyeh lechlal Yisrael mokam ba'olam. If Esav has the whole Olam Hazeh, he's not going to let us live altogether. אלו צורך שיצרוק יבורך אז יעקב גם בעולם הזה. ועל ידי זה יהיה קיום לכלל ישראל. ומי יודע אם ברוך הזו לא הצילו אויסונו בגולוס. רבולבה says, Rivka over here did a moirodically, historically significant thing, and namely that she saved us within our golos. She made sure that we should have high positions among the Goyim, ministers and all kinds of things, so that they would give us power and ability to save Yidden. ומשהו כלל ישראל החזיקו מעמד היו מפני שהיו אצל היהודים גבירים. והקיסרים, that means the emperors, היו זקוקים להם. They needed the Yidden, they needed the money, they needed to borrow money. ועל ידי זה הויסו להם השפור על הקיסר. And that way the Yidden were able to have a השפור on the monarch, and ברוך השם. So Rav Volbe is suggesting, I mean, it doesn't say in so many words that that was the only kavona which Rivka had, but it seems to be the direction in which he's going. And that is that Baruch Hashem, that Rivka did what she did, because that could have been the goyrim that Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael, is still around after all the terrible, terrible, terrible matzovim which we had to go through. So that is how Rav Volbe learns the hachroa which Rivka made, that it has to be like this, and that the Olam Hazeh also has to go to Yaakov. Now, I have certain hirurim about this pshat. Not chas v'sholem that I feel myself, but I've looked at Rav Wolbe, very, very big, vattle myself to Rav Wolbe. But Torah hi v'lilmeid an yitzorech, and I'm wondering, because it turns out that the gift of Olam Hazeh is really only a big bedievet. Of course, he may hold the other things also, and this is just one aspect. I don't know. If so, then my objection is irrelevant. But isn't Olam Hazeh something good and beautiful which a Yid can use in very, very positive ways? And therefore, Rivka thought that to not give him Olam Hazeh at all, what was Rav Wolbe's target? So he'll only learn, he'll only do mitzvahs, he won't have a country, he'll be completely orangutan only in learning. Maybe Rivka held that maybe that is not the ideal Jewish life. Why do I say that? Because, let's say the Medrash over here, I'll read it to you, I'm sure you know it backwards and forwards. Re'ei, it's a pasuk in Koheles, Re'ei es maseh elokim, ki mi yuchal lesaken es asher ifso. Zog de Medrash, b'shor shebor HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Odom HaRishon, netolau, he took him, ve'erziro al kol ilone Gan Eden, and he took him around all the trees in Gan Eden, ve'omelo, Re'ei masai, kamon noem u'mishubochem hen. Look what a beautiful, beautiful garden I made for you. They're so beautiful, noem. They're so mishubochem. V'chol mashu barosi b'shvilcho barosi. I wanted you to have nice, pretty, beautiful trees and nice, pretty, beautiful gardens and whatever it was. Ten daitcho sheloi tekalkel v'sachre v'soilomi. She'im kilkalto ein mishi yisaken acharecho. And so on and so forth. So, that sounds different than what it says in Rav Wolbe's Chumash over here. I don't know. You see, you never know what he really said, because this is just what the Talmidim either remembered or took notes or they heard a tape, and it's never the same thing. So I don't know. So to say that I'm arguing with Rav Wolbe, I don't even. First of all, I wouldn't argue. Second of all, it may not be Rav Wolbe. It may just be the way the Talmidim understood it. But, for example, this particular Medrash sounds differently. It sounds that there is a value in Olam Hazeh other than saving ourselves from pogroms. So that's something to think about. Now, I said that it's Shayach, that there should be Ba'pluktus also, and it seems to me, I believe, that Rav Shamshon Frel Hirsch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the savior ke'ilu of German Jewry, and lots of chalokim of Yiddishkeit, we owe to his enormous wisdom and his enormous hasmode in bringing out the Pshuta Shel Mikro in Chumash. That's only one of the wonderful things that he did. But he seems to have a different mahalach. Now, please, before I read to you what he says, I want to stress that this may be different than perhaps you heard from other rabbis and so on and so forth besides Rav Hirsch, and it could be that the Achi Luke Deus. But at the same time, you see how the Pshuta Shel Mikro of a Pasha can be interpreted in a way that is much different from between this Godel and that Godel. I'm here in Vayechi. Vayomer Yaakov el Yosef, Kel Shaddai nireh elai beluz b'eretz Kanaan vayivorech asi, Vayomer elai hineni mafrucho v'hebisicho, unesaticho lekahal amim. So he said that, I told you, and what did I tell you? Yeah, that Hineni mafrecho v'ebisicho, I will make you fruitful and multiply. Unesaticho l'kahal amim, and I'm going to make you into kahal amim. Now, what does that mean? So, this goes back to Bereshis 35:11. I'm over here by Bereshis Mem Ches Gimel, and now we're going back to 35:11. So what does it say over there? Vayom Elo Elokim, Ani Kel Shaddai, Purei Uruvei, Goy Ukahal Goyim Yiyem Mekka, Melochim Mechalotzecho Yetzeo. He promises Yaakov that Goy Ukahal Goyim Yiyem Mekka. Now that is what the Pasuk makes reference over here in Vayichi, in Mem Ches Dalet. Vayom Elai, that Hashem said to me, Hineni mafrecho v'hebisicho, unesaticho l'kahal amim. In other words, the perei uruvei, goy ukahal goyim, yir mimeko, Yaakov over here teaches it, mafrecho v'hebisicho. I will make you fruitful and multiply. Now, what does it mean over there, goy ukahal goyim? So Rashi says over there, who could it have meant? Mean legavi Yaakov. All his children were born already. So who's going to come now? Oh, only Binyamin is missing, and Ephraim and Manasseh didn't know about them. So Goy Ukahal Goyim, so Rashi says Goy is Binyamin, Ukahal Goyim is Ephraim and Manasseh. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising them. Now, I'm going to read to you what Rav Hirsch says over there in Vayishlach, and then I'm going to read to you what he says in Vayichi. And together, it seems to me that we have a mahalach which is different than Rav Olva's mahalach. Now, so what does it mean, goy ukahal goyim? So he has a very original taich. I mean, I guess he would say to us that that's the pshuta shel mikra, that what Rashi brings is a drosha, that goy goes on Binyamin and kahal goyim goes on Ephraim and Asher. Rav Hirsch says something different. The nation that will descend from you is to be one single unit outwardly oriented, and a multiplicity of elements united into one inwardly oriented. Each tribe is to represent a special national quality. Is it to be, as it were, a nation? It is to be, as it were, a nation in miniature. What's he saying? He's saying like this, that the Klal Yisrael, which is going to be descended from you, has two aspects. It has an aspect of Goy in the singular, and it has an aspect of Kahal Goyim in the plural. Goy means there'll be one people, one nation. He teaches it to be one single unit, outwardly oriented. In other words, facing the world, Klal Yisrael has to face them as one unit, no machloikas, no nothing. Yeah, we are all together serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. But inwardly, within Klal Yisrael, it has to be a Kahal Goyim. What does it mean, a Kahal Goyim? Yeah? And a multiplicity of elements united into one inwardly oriented. When they deal with the nation, not how we look to the Goyim, but how we are, so then it should be very, very multiple. We have to be all kinds of different things. Here, in this manner, it will become clear to all that the sanctification of human life in the divine covenant of the Torah, what does the Torah want from us, does not depend on a particular way of life or national characteristic. Not everybody has to be the same. Rather, all of mankind, with all its diversity, is called upon to accept the uniform spirit of God of Israel. From diversity of human and national characteristics will emerge one united kingdom of God. In other words, Avadik is what we want, is one united kingdom. Oh, but what makes it one united? The fact that all the needs of human beings are being taken care of in the various ways in which the various segments of Klal Yisrael, which we'll see in a moment, is the Shvatim. Yeah? So they will provide for Klal Yisrael all the various things that we need, and therefore we will have the power and the interest and the idea of forming a guy, a one Baruch Hashem, together No machloikas, no nothing nation. That is the ideal that the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for. A nation which is one and made one by the proclivity of lots and lots of different mahalchim. It's very, very interesting how he touches this goy or kahal goyim. So Rosh Hashanah says over here in Vayichi, he says, look, it says, Hineni mafrecho v'hir b'sicho. I'm going to make you fruitful and multiply. So Rav Hirsch says over here, come on, yeah? Who has to be born still? Binyamin and Ephraim and Menashe. So that's going to be fruitful and multiply to a family that already has 11 children and Einekloch and Yisrael. I mean, mafrecho v'hir b'sicho means more than just another son and two grandsons. That is his position over here. Here. At that time, only Binyamin, Ephraim, and Menashe were not yet born to the family. Hence, if Goy refers to Binyamin, Goyim can refer only to Ephraim and Menashe. Thus, from birth, they were already destined to be separate tribes, which is a chiddush, because that's only something which Yaakov decided later, right? But it is difficult to contend that in a family that already included 11 sons, this small addition would be considered so significant that it could be indicated by the words Hineni mafrecho v'hir b'sicho. I mean, that's not mafrecho b'sicho because Binyamin was born or because Ephraim and Menashe were around. Rather, as we already noted, the expression kahal goyim here, kahal amim, over there it's kahal goyim, here it's called kahal amim, assigns the people of Yaakov its distinctive mission. This people is to consist of diverse tribes of different traits while maintaining complete unity through one common task. In other words, there's one common task, and that's to be Mekadosh Shem Shomayim, to live like the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to live. How can we accomplish that? By having diverse tribes with differing traits, and which together create an arm which can be unified. This people should represent the agricultural nation, the merchant nation, the warrior nation, the nation of scholars, and so forth. As a model nation, it should demonstrate for all to see that the one great mission common to all men and all nations, and as revealed in God's Torah, does not depend on a particular vocation or trait. It's not that everybody has to live in one particular way. Rather, all of mankind, with its rich diversity, can equally find its calling in the one common mission. The division of the nation into diverse tribes and the resulting division of the land into different provinces for the different tribes, each shevet has its own mokom, whose distinctiveness is thus to be retained. In other words, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam divide Eretz Yisrael and say that that you're going to be here and you're going to be here and you're going to be here and you're going to be here? Yeah? Oh, because without division into diverse tribes, all distinctiveness would be absorbed in the consolidated mass of the nation as a whole, just as the land would be divided among the nations as a whole and not only according to different tribes. Yes, if everybody would have lived in the same place, like England, this place. England doesn't have any tribes, doesn't have any states. It's all one big mishmash. And that would have been, but Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want one big mishmash. He wanted that Reuven should be this and that Levi should be this. And in order to foster those positive differences, so he made Taka that the land was divided into different shvatim. And please mark that in the two psukim, the one over there in Vayishlach and over here, once they're called Goyim and once called Amim, that means nations. So each shevet is be'emes a nation by itself. A nation by itself, an Am by itself, a Goy by itself, whatever Ma means and what Goy means. I mean, there's a limitless amount of things that one can research over here. But that is what Rav Hirsch says. That is what Rav Hirsch says. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. See, but how did I come into all this? I stumbled onto all this because it was nageya to me. I wanted to know where the mokah is for Shvatim. So I think that it's these two psukim. That's where we know from that they're supposed to be shvatim. Goyu kahal goyim, yeah, or kahal amim. The Rabban Shem told Yaakov, "I want your children to become shvatim, living in different places, and forming one glorious, beautiful home." Isn't it beautiful? So that is how Rav Hirsch learns. Now, Rabbi, please don't put me in cherem. Yeah, I'm not voicing any opinions over here. I'm just trying to point out to you that zwei teure Yidden. And by the way, let me put a plug in for my Germanic roots, right? Both of them good German Yidden who became teure dicke Yidden, beginning in Germany. Yeah? And but very different ideas, very different ideas. And it's all really very, very interesting. I'll tell you a story which is really interesting. It's something I never noticed before. Some of you may have the biography of Rav Dessler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Two volume biography, very, very interesting in many ways. And the first volume deals with his life in England. Of course, he learned first 18 years in Köln. But then for reasons which it's too much to go into now, he moved over to England and stayed there for quite a few years. So the first volume is devoted to what happened there. That's where he founded the Koilel in Gateshead. And he brought Torah to Europe. It was a very, very interesting sefer. And then in the second volume, it talks about his life in Eretz Yisrael after the Panim Yeshurov had persuaded him to come to Eretz Yisrael. Very, very interesting. Now, in the first volume, where he talks about the English endeavors, he talks about, of course, the founding of the Koilel. And there is a couple of pages where there's a photo of each of the Koilel members, of the beginning Koilel, the first Koilel in Europe, and I mean, certainly in Western Europe. And they were the ones that started. There must have been, I don't know, if maybe 12, 13 of them. So there was a brief, there's a picture, nice picture of each one, and also a short biography. And I never noticed this before, although I'd read it several times. I mean, that's my own background also. I mean, I learned in Gateshead, and that's where I feel a very, very big sense of belonging. So I knew the Koilel very well, I knew the people very well, some of them. But I never knew the following, that in the short biography, which it says for each one, in the short biography, turns out that I think of the, let's say, 13 or 14 people, I think except two or three, they all came from Germany. They're all Germans. Moshe Schwab, all of them. They were all German fellows who had gone to the Litter to learn. And that's interesting. That's very interesting. So I guess what do we? That means who is we? But the Bnei Yeshiva, what we are taught, right? It seems to me that the kind of things that we are taught would conform more with Rav Wolbe's ideas than with Rav Shamshuel his ideas. Well, Hashem, none of us have to go and be machria here. Who's right? I don't know who's right, but that's also interesting. But what I want to read to you is Taka from Rav Dessler. Some of you may have read this. I know that I've learned this tshuva with Bochum a lot of times, and it's really very interesting. The background of it was that. You know, you have the famous seminary in Gateshead, the girls' seminary, which today has, I think, 400 girls in there, and a very, very chosh of a seminary, and very popular, chosh of. So at one point, when I was still in the yeshiva over there, they decided that to expand that girls' seminary and also make a boys' seminary. I don't mean that they would be mixed, in a completely different place, but there should be a boys' seminary also. Why? Because the matzav in England at the time was that there were no good teachers around, very few good teachers. So they wanted to train teachers, that they should be able to teach well, should be Talmidei Chachamim, and be able to teach well. And impossible to understand, I'll never understand it, is that this was already after the Ponyvezh Rov had asked Rabbi Dessler to come on a trial period to Ponyvezh in Eretz Yisrael, in Bnei Brak, and Rabbi Dessler wasn't in town. And they started this without consulting him. I don't know why that happened. Because everything that they did, every step that they took, was to consult Rabbi Dessler. And when Rabbi Dessler was consulted, he nixed it completely. And that is the tshuva over here, where he explains why, upon consultation with the Chazon Ish, no boys' seminary, not going to be, and we have to close it. And in fact, in the letter, he says that he's very, very careful not to disturb the Chazon Ish unnecessarily. Not to disturb the Chazon Ish unnecessarily. But and he wouldn't have asked him this shaila, because this shaila is so poshut that the men's seminary must not happen. And he wouldn't have bothered asking him. Except that over here, the sad situation was that the boys who had registered for it had already paid money, and so they went a line into the Dine Mominus that they're going to have to be mevatel the seminary for which they had already paid. So he went into the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish said, 100%, you have to close it, and if they make trouble about the money, tell them the Chazon Ish said so, and that'll be v'noma omen. Anyway, so this is a very, very interesting tshuva which Rav Dessler wrote. And in the middle of it, he explains what the German Mahalach was vis-a-vis the Yeshivish Mahalach. And there's no time now because I only have another 4 or 5 minutes, but I'll just read to you what he writes about the German, which he calls Frankfurt. It's where I come from. Yeah, Frankfurt. Hitiro es hamada, v'chniso es halimut b'universita l'chlal l'chatchile shebechinuch. Yeah, Frankfurt held that people should go to university. Hamachir sheshalmu ba'adzev, they paid a price for that. Hoyu shenismatu misper gedoyle teuro ben chanicheim. There weren't many gedoyle teuro. Vafilu me'ele shelamdu teuro b'yeshivas litter of Poland, but for the university they came back to Germany. Rak me'atim me'oid mehem, mamish na yichtevehem, v'ulai pochus afilu mezeh. Came out nobody. Ashaniye lelomdim gedolim. So that was a very bitter price to pay. However, omnom hirvichu baze, they did gain. Asher mispar hamakul kolim etzlam hoyukoton ma'od. People who dropped out from Yiddishkeit were came out non-existent. Ve'imki be'etzam taras ha'ashkofa v'nageya la'amitusa ha'gemuro mamash el shittas toiro ha'gdoisho v'mokam shamadas ha'seres ho'yolokul k'tzas. They weren't 100% right in all the things that they thought about Mada and so on and so forth. The efshel tzarev stirum ha'moshes b'leiv echa. They thought that the two things are not in contradiction with each other, and that was wrong. Mikol mokom kimat kulam nisharu mekaimim mitzvahs v'mesiras nefesh v'kama mehem zihirim ma'oid afilu b'dikduke ha'mitzvahs. And then comes avol shittas ha'yeshivas lehamid lematori yechido legadil gedoy le'toiro v'yiras shemaim, and so on and so forth. I recommend that all of you who are listening to this shiur get yourself a third chelek of the Michtav Me'elyoh, third chelek, page 355, read that letter. Very, very choshev. So there we have over here by Rabbi Dessler touching up the difference between the Yitzchak and Rivka, right, in the terms of the difference between Frankfurt and what's going on, why Rivka didn't want that Yaakov should not be given Olam Hazeh, yeah? So one would say that Rivka is coming down on the side of Frankfurt a little bit. In other words, Olam Hazeh has its own value, if I'm right. Not that the pshat is that she wanted it, because later on there'd be pogroms. But it's part of Yiddishkeit. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told Odom Harishon. And the Yitzchak held differently. Now, please, nobody's being machia anything. But these are two Groisse Gedoyle Yisrael who had two different ideas in much the same way as Yitzchak and Rivka had two different ideas over here. And let's leave it over here. But learn this tshuva, learn these issues. If you can get a hold of the Hirsch Chumash, look at the two places. I think that there's much in the actual text of the Torah which seems to argue in that direction. And we see also by the brochas which Yaakov gave his sons, a lot of it was on Mimeged Shumai Me'al, Me'tayim Lo Etz Estom, Mimeged, 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 Mimeged. Yeah, he wasn't being Mevatel, the Olam Hazeh, and saying the only reason why you need it is because of pogroms. Make your own ideas, ask your rabbis what the emes is, and please don't mind me. Yeah, I meant that when I said that I'm not in any way being machia. First of all, I don't have the right, and second of all, I don't have the ability. But it is useful to see that even on big Yisoidos, there can be Chilukei Geyos. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.